Today's podcast is sponsored by two of our very own Retromaniacs from the Retro Asylum community, Stotz31 and Mr. Sid. Thank you very much, guys. We really appreciate your generous donations. Why did you prefer the Mega Drive version?
Can you give me a minute? Hello, Dad.
You want dinner in about an hour?
About an hour, yeah.
You're all right.
Okay.
How's Andy?
He's fine.
Can you hear me?
He can.
Hello, Andy.
Hello.
Hello. Sorry about that, Andy.
That's all right. I'm going to put that as an intro. Everyone, and welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum. This is episode 29 and a half. I'm your host, Andy Godoy, and joining me once again is...
Glenn Atkinson.
How you doing, Glenn? You all right?
Oh, God, what... I tell you, today at work has been absolutely hell. Because I do home shopping for a famous food chain...
Yeah.
Basically, everybody's coming in to do their shopping, and I'm going around doing my shopping as well. And because it's getting near Christmas, everybody's starting to get all the orders in and everything. And It's been absolute hell. I didn't even get out of work on time today.
Nah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I mean, I've got to admit to all our listeners, if I sound completely shattered today, it is because I've only had 2 hours sleep. I am completely shattered. But anyway, regardless... Hey, this is the New Year's Eve podcast episode. Well, technically comes out a few days before the New Year. I sound like I'm drunk, Glenn, but I'm not.
Oh, well, the lack of sleep does that, isn't it?
Yeah, and the thing is, the baby still isn't even born. I was telling you earlier on, Glenn, it's because I travel about 47 miles a day back and forth.
7 miles?
47 Ooh. Miles a day. But anyway, it's the last podcast of the year. It's probably going to be the last podcast I'm going to be on for a while because I've got the baby on its way. The baby might even be born before this podcast comes out because, you know, the baby's meant to be born around any time around when this podcast does come out. But, you know, these things happen. But I'm sure you and the other guys will sort something out and we'll have a show too.
Yeah, we'll certainly sort something out. And in advance, congratulations on your new baby, Andy.
Yeah, once it's born or if it's already here. But anyway, Glenn, you know what? I'm going to have to let you lead this show. Why don't you tell everyone what we've got lined up because I am tired.
Well, today the show's all about 16-bit wars. The Sega Mega Drive against the Super Nintendo. Like... when I was at school, the Super Nintendo and the Mega Drive were the arch enemies. It's like the Sinclair Spectrum and the Commodore 64 in the 1980s.
No, I completely, totally agree. It's just been one of those things throughout the beginning of time. So one person's got something, someone else has got something similar, and it's always a battle of which is the better thing. And when I was growing up, it was sort of the Spectrum and the Amstrad and the C64. And for you, it was the Mega Drive versus Super Nintendo. Yeah. What's your history with both these machines, Glenn?
Actually, the first games console I played on was actually the Mega Drive. Right. My brother's friend brought the system around to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what's this? What's this? And the first game he put on was Sonic the Hedgehog 1. And right. I tell you... he loved playing video games, but I didn't mind just sitting down and watching him complete Sonic the Hedgehog 1. And we used to have, like, sleepovers.
Mm-hmm.
But strangely enough, I wanted a Mega Drive, but my brother didn't want one because most of his friends had Super Nintendos. So that's why I ended up with a Super Nintendo. It was like you ended up with the Spectrum instead of the Commodore 64, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, luckily, you know, at the end, I did end up with a C64. My history between these consoles, the first machine I think I actually owned was the Super Nintendo. I must have been about 16 or 17 at the time, and I was working in a hotel. And I was at that age where I could buy myself things with my wages because my mum wasn't really charging me a lot of rent or anything, just a little bit of food money here and there I gave her.
The good old days.
Yeah, the good old days. And... yeah, I bought myself a Super Nintendo, and I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. It was a complete leap over the 8-bit systems that I had owned. The graphics were out of this world, especially with Mode 7. And then I think about maybe about a year later, I got myself the Sega Mega Drive because I was a bit of an arcade fan, and I knew the Sega Mega Drive had loads of arcade conversions.
Yeah, they had a lot of the Sega arcade games, isn't it?
I think they were very different in that respect, because recently there was a thing on the forum, you know, which system should I get? And I put, you should get a Sega Mega Drive because the games are relatively cheap.
Yes.
And then someone sort of disagreed. They're saying, no, you should get the Super Nintendo because the Super Nintendo's got different sort of games. They're not all just shoot 'em ups or arcade ports. There's more to it. And they're right. I mean, both systems are absolutely fantastic. So I think what we should do in this episode a little bit is just compare them, really, Glenn.
Mm-hmm. And we're comparing the games that were released on both systems. So we're not, like, comparing games that weren't released, like Sonic the Hedgehog and Super Mario Brothers, because they weren't released on each other. So it's the games that are released on both systems. That's how we're going by it.
Right. Now, before we go into that, let's just talk a little bit about the actual Super Nintendo and the Mega Drive. I want to talk a little bit about the cosmetics, Glenn. You know, like previously, me and you did talk about this on another show that we had to cancel because it didn't quite work out well. But let's talk about the overall look of the consoles. What's your view on both those machines?
You know, they're both nice-looking machines. And I find the Mega Drive especially the first Mega Drive, it had a nice cool look to it. It even had a microphone, a system you could plug in and listen to the Mega Drive.
Yeah.
But I never thought much of the Mega Drive 2, but I always liked the first Mega Drive better.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. The first Mega Drive had that little audio jack, so you could put some earphones or headphones on. So it was pretty good, and it looked nice. It kind of reminded me of the car from Knight Rider. It was just slick and sort of, it looked cool, basically. And the Mega Drive 2, I never owned one back in the day, and like I said, recently I bought myself one, and it just looks cheap and flimsy, and it feels like cheaper plastic.
A lot of them are like that. Just look at even today's generation systems, the newer ones seem to always look a bit cheaper.
Yeah.
Anyway, with the Super Nintendo, luckily we had the Japanese release, not the American one, because I wasn't fond of the American Super Nintendo. It looked too blocky for me. But I like the Japanese look. It's very smooth and sleek, and it's like cornered off at the edges, and it's a pretty looking system, and I like it how they use the grey bit at the front.
Yeah, well, even the control pad is one of the things I want to talk about as well. The control pad on the Super Nintendo in the Japan and over here in the UK, it's really colourful, you know, it's got the coloured buttons.
Such as the American system, I think it was like purple and pinkish colour.
Yeah, it looks very bland.
It didn't look very nice.
No, I really love the overall cosmetic look. Now, that's one of the things I want to talk about, Glenn. It was one of the first control pads I'd actually ever picked up that had more than, say, 3 buttons, because this had a total of 6 buttons, if I'm right.
Yeah,
maybe more, because it had start and select as well.
Yeah, it had 2 buttons at the back. It had
the trigger buttons, the shoulder ones, L and R.
3, 4, 5, 6. No, it had 8.
Yeah, with the start and select button.
It had 8 buttons.
But how did you find it then to play it to begin off with? Did you find it hard to get into, or do you just sort of like, because maybe you were younger, it just became second nature to you?
To be honest with you, it didn't take me long whatsoever to get used to the Super Nintendo pad, because I think Nintendo designed it so well. It just works. That's what's so good about it. And you've got to have a controller that works, because just look at the Atari Jaguar. That's just a messy pad.
That is completely messy. I can't even describe to someone what that pad looks like, because it is just a mess. But the Super Nintendo control pad is pure perfection. And if you look at it really now, Glenn, most pads have somewhat evolved from that look. You know, the PS2 pads are very, very similar. But yeah, fair enough, they've got extra triggers and they've got analog.
We just have 2 extra buttons at the back, yeah.
And they've got the analog sticks, but they're very similar. Even the Sega Dreamcast control pad looked like a chunkier version of the Super Nintendo with a colour scheme as well. So, yeah, I like the Super Nintendo control pad. What's your view on the Sega Mega Drive control pad?
I think it holds very nicely, but shame about the limited buttons on it. Because, like, when you play games like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat, it's a bit tricky with 3 buttons compared to the Super Nintendo pad.
Yeah, I think you're right. When the Mega Drive originally was launched, it only had three buttons. And when certain games like Street Fighter 2 and Mortal Kombat came out, it didn't feel right because you couldn't do all the moves, or you had to press start to sort of do a, you know, to change your moves. And it just didn't flow. And then the next control pad came out, and that had six buttons, I believe.
That was a lot better. It looked a bit more like the Saturn, kind of like a pad, isn't it? It had three buttons at the top and three buttons at the bottom.
Yeah, it's not a bad little pad, and I find it for certain games, like for something like Street Fighter, it's easier to play because you've got all the buttons there at the front, but that could just be a personal thing then. Now, both these machines were 16-bits. What was the flagship game for the Mega Drive? What was the first game that came out? Was it like an arcade conversion or something? I'm not too sure, but I know that on the Super Nintendo, it was Super Mario World.
Yeah, it was games like Super Mario World and F-Zero was Nintendo's first games for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, you had Pilot Wings and stuff as well.
Yeah, F-Zero was showing off Nintendo's famous Mode 7.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that the Mega Drive didn't have.
I think the first lineup of games actually on the Super Nintendo was slightly more impressive than they were on the Mega Drive, because on the Mega Drive, don't get me wrong, Glenn, you had some amazing arcade conversions, and this is one of the things I want to touch upon actually before we start going on our list of games that we're going to talk about. I used to love Sega arcade games, and all the ports that we got on the Mega Drive were very accurate arcade conversions. You had games like Golden Axe, you had games like Strider and Space Harrier, Afterburner, games like, you know, and they look good. They looked almost identical to their arcade counterpart. Whereas on the Super Nintendo, Glenn, you had a different sort of style of launch games. You had games like you said, Super Mario World, F-Zero.
I believe it because it was Sega's main arcade ports, and they had the rights to those games, so they decided just to put all the arcade 16-bit games on. But Nintendo, they're not really a big force in the arcade, so I suppose they had to make a new lineup of games, and they did a very good job at it.
And I probably think it is the best lineup they've had since any launch console, really. I can't think of any other sort of Nintendo console where they've had such a good lineup of games, because Pilot Wing...
I don't think even the N64 had that great lineup. Oh, yeah, they had Mario 64. That game sold the N64.
I think Turok and Shadows of the Empire.
But really, I think the Super Nintendo did have a better lineup even than the N64.
Oh, definitely.
Guys, it's Steve here from Manchester. I just thought I'd leave you a quick message and just let you know how much I'm loving everything that you guys are doing over at Retro Asylum. Love the podcast. I've been trying for some time now to try and find a podcast which is a bit more relevant to me and talk about things that I remember. And you seem to fit the bill perfectly. So well done, guys, and keep up the good work. I look forward to many more podcasts and many more content on your website. So thanks very much. See you later. Bye.
All right then, so we've talked a little bit about them. Both machines are about equal in power. You were saying before last time that the Super Nintendo processor is slower than the Mega Drive.
Yes, it was, if I remember, around about 3 megahertz, and the Mega Drive, if I remember, around about 7 megahertz. But the Super Nintendo had the upper hand when it came to colour. It could display more colours than the Mega Drive.
And the sound chip as well was that little bit nicer as well. It just sounded a lot more clearer.
You'd be surprised. Some of the games actually preferred the Mega Drive sound.
I was just going to say that, Glenn, actually. There's certain games that I've played on the Mega Drive, and they sound a lot better, actually. Even though the sound chip's inferior, it just suits that sort of sound chip, for whatever reason, a lot better.
Yeah, so, Nintendo seems to have more of a cinematic kind of music, such as the Mega Drive seems to have more of an electric guitar type of music, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, definitely. There's some really good sort of like guitar sort of music on the Mega Drive, actually. Some really great stuff. I mean, is there anything else you want to compare about the systems, or should we get on to our list of games then?
Well, let's get on to the list of games.
What's our first game on our list then?
Our first game is Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Right, so What do you want to go first then, Glenn? Super Nintendo? Yeah, let's go for the Super Nintendo. What's your view on the Super Nintendo version?
Well, for the graphics, I said the Super Nintendo got nice drawn sprites and more colours than the Mega Drive. Right. But looked slightly washed out compared to the Mega Drive game.
Mm-hmm.
So it had more colours, but for some reason the colours looked washed out on the Mega Drive. But the controller, I love the six controller pad. You know, the main six buttons on the controller pad.
Yeah.
A lot better than the Mega Drive. And also, I did prefer the music in the Super Nintendo game. I think it was a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, because, well, you know, when they fight and when they have the sample speech.
Yeah.
The Mega Drive version seems to be very fizzy.
Yeah, it's very hissy. Yeah, sounds like they're gargling.
It has a hissy sound to it, and the Super Nintendo doesn't seem to have that hissy sound to it.
No, it's really crystal clear. One of the other differences I want to point out, it was Street Fighter 2 Turbo on the Super Nintendo, and on the Mega Drive it was some other sort of addition, but they were very, very similar. On the Super Nintendo, you had to activate a cheat to get all the extra speed settings, whereas on the Mega Drive, you didn't have to, but...
Yeah, he had the hyperspeed.
Yeah, and that was really, really, really fast. Now, I think the sprites, they all look very, very similar animation-wise. They're very comparable, you know, there's not much difference between them, apart, like you said, the colour.
Yeah, the colour, it's the colour that you notice more on it.
All right, so, I mean, which out of the two, then, did you notice anything playability-wise, or...?
To be honest with you, they're both almost identical, but
mm-hmm.
but there is a winner in this. There's definitely a winner in this, and I will choose the Super Nintendo version.
You know, I've got to agree with this as well. What's next then, Glenn?
Mortal Kombat 2.
Right, so what's your view on this thing, Glenn?
Well, my view on the Super Nintendo version, it had a lot better colours than the Mega Drive.
Yeah.
And that pad... It definitely does work very well with the game compared to the Mega Drive.
Yeah.
But it also has, like, better music in the game, and it had more sample speech in places, such as in the Mega Drive. There's certain sample speech that wasn't there, such as when you select the character on the screen.
Yeah.
There's no... when you select Scorpio, it just starts the game, but on the Super Nintendo version, if you select Scorpio, it goes, Scorpio.
Glenn, his name's actually Scorpion.
Oh, sorry, Scorpion. Scorpion. Scorpio.
I don't know. Scorpio. He sounds like a James Bond villain. Scorpio.
Scorpion.
Yeah, now Scorpion. Yeah, now basically, there's reasons why, Glenn, I chose to do Mortal Kombat 2 as opposed to Mortal Kombat 1. Because Mortal Kombat 1, everyone goes, oh, the Super Nintendo version was rubbish. The Mega Drive version was so much better. But I'd say why the original people say that is because the Mega Drive version on the Mega Drive had blood, and the original Super Nintendo version didn't have the fatalities or the blood.
It did have the fatalities, but they were
toned down.
Toned down a lot, yeah. There's a reason for that, Andy. It's because of Nintendo censorship.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to do this game, because I think they must have realised that they missed out on a lot, and then they did allow the fatalities on the second game. They did have the blood, and then if you put the game side to side, playability wise they both play pretty much identical. Graphic wise the Super Nintendo does look a lot more like its arcade counterpart.
Yeah, and like you said,
audio, music, amazing in that game. Oh, and again, control pad, it plays horrible if you're playing with a 3-button on the Mega Drive, but on the if you get a 6-button control pad, it plays with absolute perfection. It's amazing.
But you have to buy the 6-button pad, and yeah, not everyone had it.
Yeah, it's true. No, but, you know, I got myself one of those pads. So, yeah, who would you say is the winner then, Glenn?
Well, definitely the Super Nintendo, mainly because it had better controls, it had better music and sound, it had better colour. I think the Super Nintendo actually wins this one hands down.
Well,
no shadow of a doubt with me.
I would agree with you pretty much apart from the controls, because like I said, if you got yourself a 6-button control pad, it was pure perfection. Without that, it lacked that. But yeah, sound and graphics, Super Nintendo all the way. All right, so the third game up, Glenn, is Aladdin.
Aladdin. Now, this is when it does change for me about the Mega Drive, because I played the Super Nintendo one, and I Oh, it was horrible. I didn't like it.
It was done by Capcom. Now, I can't remember who did the Mega Drive version, but it's one of my favourite games.
Virgin did it.
Virgin, yeah. And I think the graphics were done by Dave Perry, possibly, who had worked on games like Earthworm Jim. He had like done all that amazing animation. So he was really good when it came to doing that sort of style game. And I tell you what, it looked amazing. So, all right, give us your view on both then, Glenn.
Well, I liked the Mega Drive version. It was absolutely perfection. The animation was lovely. It had lovely sample speech, and the music, it was great in the game, mm-hmm. and it had nice little sound effects. That really, the Super Nintendo was a bit bland. I think that was the trouble with the Super Nintendo version. When I played it, the colors and the animation just didn't seem as good as the Mega Drive version, and when you play it, he seemed to run really slow. On the Mega Drive version, he goes a lot quicker. It's just the Mega Drive's the winner on this one, Andy. There's no contest.
I think I'll agree, because the way it is, it's two separate games. One was done by Capcom, and one was done by Virgin. And like I said, the Mega Drive one had that beautiful animation and graphics done by Dave Perry. It's a completely different game on that one. On the Mega Drive one, you use your sword, you can throw apples, and the levels are just so well executed, and it's beautiful. The animation, the use of color, it feels like you're watching the Disney movie. The Super Nintendo version, though, because of violence and stuff like that, you couldn't actually kill anyone. What you had to do was throw apples and then jump on their head. So it's very,
it
very
wasn't
different.
Very good.
And it didn't have that overall look. And you'd think the Super Nintendo, with the graphics, it would have been able to sort of outdo the Mega Drive, but it just didn't work. And the gameplay as well was lacking. It's nowhere near as good as the Sega Mega Drive version. So that's one to the Sega Mega Drive.
Definitely. And there's a nice little touch. Do you know when he dies, the genie comes out and grabs hold of him? Nice little touches like that. I don't think he had that in the Super Nintendo version. I might be wrong, but I didn't remember it being there.
It's a whole package, the Aladdin. I mean, I got that on my Sega Mega Drive as well. It's a great little game, and I'm glad I got it.
Hello, this is Potty Boy, and you're listening to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum.
Right, so next up is Alien 3. Now, can I start this one off, Glenn?
Yeah, you can start this one off, Andy.
Now, I originally got Alien 3 on my Mega Drive first, right? And I loved it. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I thought the music was amazing. I thought the animation was amazing. I thought the whole sort of thing of the game was absolutely fantastic. And I had played this on the C64, and I think it's actually also available on the NES and on the Amiga. I hadn't played the Amiga version. And the Mega Drive version, I just thought was out of this world. And then I played the Super Nintendo version, Glenn, which I think blew it out of the water altogether, because it's a million times better, Glenn. What's your view on it?
Do you know, you'll find it strange, but I really enjoyed the Mega Drive game.
Really?
There's something about it.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
It's very fast-paced. You see, with the Mega Drive one, it seemed to have a lot of gameplay, such as the Super Nintendo version looked very nice, and there's a lot of nice little touches in the game. But the Mega Drive version, it just had that gameplay that made me want to come back for more.
I'm going to have to disagree with you, because as much as, don't get me wrong, Glenn, I love the Mega Drive version. I think the Mega Drive version is faster, but it's a very arcade-style game. It's very go across one corridor, shoot a couple of aliens, rescue one person, and it's very simple. Whereas the Super Nintendo, what I loved about it was the animation was a hell of a lot better. The sound was just out of this world. The graphical intro, the animation. Yeah, the Super Nintendo version, Glenn, is just, it's so much better. Graphically, it's beyond the Mega Drive versions. the sounds are so much better.
The sounds were great.
It doesn't play like the Mega Drive version. There's a lot more thought to it. It's a game where... Sorry, I prefer the Super Nintendo version because there's more playability to it, Glenn. It doesn't feel like an arcade game like the Mega Drive. There's more to it. The Mega Drive game you can play for about 10-15 minutes and you can put it down, whereas the Super Nintendo, it's hard to put down because I found myself playing that game for hours non-stop because there was missions you had to do. Not only did you have to save people, you had to solder things, you had to get things, and it was just... I found it the better game, Glenn. Both of them are amazing games, but the Super Nintendo version, I've got to say, was the better version.
Do you know, you'd be very surprised. I actually liked the Mega Drive one better, but that's probably my personal view. I did like the Mega Drive version. I just like the arcade style of gameplay it's got.
How long did you, if you don't mind me asking, did you try the Super Nintendo version? Did you try and play it for a good couple of hours?
I actually played them for about probably half an hour.
Right, now you'll find that there's more to the Super Nintendo version. The Mega Drive game is fantastic just to pick up and play, but the Super Nintendo, you could be playing that, and again, you do a save thing, and then you can play again at another time. All right, so I think for this one, we'll agree to disagree. What we'll do, we'll put all these on the forum, and then we'll let the community decide.
But one thing I really did like about the Super Nintendo version was the sound. It was definitely a lot better than the Mega Drive, but everything else... I actually like the Mega Drive one better. Even the controls I actually liked on the Mega Drive.
No, I've got to disagree with you there, Glenn.
I found the controls slightly bit more funny.
No, I've got to completely disagree. But like I said, we'll agree to disagree. We'll let the community decide. Once this podcast comes up, this will all be on the forum.
All right. Well, the next game, Andy, is Contra.
Right. So had you played any of these Contra games before, Glenn, or not?
Did we play a Contra on the 8-bit Wars? We played a Contra then, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, I was never a big fan of the original Contra. I was never a big fan of it in the Spectrum or Commodore or Amstrad. It wasn't until I played it on the Super Nintendo that I got hooked. So what are your view on these games, Glenn?
Well, I actually liked Contra. It's a really good fast-paced game, but gosh, it's hard.
Oh, it's tough.
I keep dying every minute.
So how far did you get on the Super Nintendo version?
I think I got to the end of level one and it just absolutely frustrated me. I went, oh, I'm dying.
It is. It's a game of pure skill, Glenn. I remember playing that with one of my friends, and because we used to play games after school or, you know, on the weekends, he used to come around to my house and we would basically, I don't know, just continue to play this game, and we got so good at it. We never finished it, but we got pretty far into the game. But, like, I've tried playing it recently, and I can't get anywhere on this game. So how do you find it compared to the Mega Drive version?
I actually did like the Mega Drive version because the Super Nintendo, it seems to be a bit slower paced, the game. The Mega Drive had a really nice intro to it. Like, they had this, like, lorry that went through, like, the levels, and I actually did like the Mega Drive game a lot. And I tend to find the colours... Mm-hmm. On the Mega Drive, a little bit better than the Super Nintendo. The Super Nintendo, again, it just looked a bit washed out to me compared to the Mega Drive version.
Well, I think what you'll find is that the Super Nintendo version came out, was one of the first few games that came out on the Super Nintendo, and Contra on the Mega Drive came out a good few years towards the end of the Mega Drive's life cycle. So they could do impressive things. They could do Mode 7 on the Mega Drive by then, which is something they couldn't do before. But I think one of the other good things about the Mega Drive version, Glenn, that you forgot to mention is that you can select a whole bunch of different characters.
Oh, yeah, they have different characters. I remember that. Such a Super Nintendo version. If I remember, you couldn't choose any characters.
No, it was just two players. I think you had Mode 1, Mode B, I think. I don't know the way it worked, but I prefer the Super Nintendo version. I think maybe it's nostalgic for me. Maybe it's because I know the levels pretty much inside out, what the ones I can do. And the Mega Drive one, I finished it by cheating on my PSP, and I just found it not quite as great as the Super Nintendo version.
You see, for me, I like the Mega Drive one better. It seems to have more blasts and faster gameplay to me, and I liked it very much. So the Super Nintendo version seems to have less enemies on the screen. and a lot less blasts.
Well, okay, I think, once again, we're going to have to agree to disagree. But an interesting fact, Glenn, did you know when this game did get released, the Super Nintendo version got released on the Game Boy Advance, it didn't have all the levels of the Super Nintendo version. It was somewhat remixed with the Mega Drive version.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Both the games, the world are sort of like put into one game, so it's an interesting version to play, the Game Boy Advance version. Yeah, so the community can decide which version they prefer, Glenn, on the forum.
Hello everybody, this is Damien, and you're listening to Retro Asylum, the best retro gaming podcast.
Right, what's up next then, Glenn? What's the next game?
The next game is Castlevania.
Right, now this is one of my favorite games ever. What's your view on it?
Well, my view on it is the Mega Drive version seems to have very nice colors to it, but the Super Nintendo does have a lot better colors to the game. It definitely looks a lot nicer in the Mega Drive version.
What I was going to say, it's not just about cosmetics or the amount of color in the screen. What was your view on the actual gameplay itself, Glenn?
On the actual gameplay, the Mega Drive does run slightly faster, but the animation lets it down to me.
Right.
The animation doesn't seem as good on the Mega Drive. But the Super Nintendo game is a bit slower, but it does not kill the enjoyment for the game. So it's the Super Nintendo version definitely is a lot better for me.
I think I'll agree, Glenn. The Super Nintendo version is of a slower pace. The Mega Drive feels, again, a bit more arcade-like. I finished both these games. Overall experience, I preferred the Super Nintendo version.
Yeah, I did.
How far did you get in the Super Nintendo version?
I think I got to about level 3 or 4.
Now, I recommend you should play that game to the end, because the first couple of levels, graphically, they're not that impressive. And when I first got the game, I was thinking, well, it's a bit average. And then as I started progressing through the game, you start finding that the graphics start improving, the sound gets even creepier and better, and the next thing you know, the whole screen's rotating, chandeliers moving around, rooms are rotating, and you're like, oh my god.
Good use of Mode 7, isn't it?
But again, the Sega Mega Drive, it's one of those other games that uses Mode 7. They've got certain levels where things, it does things that you didn't think a Mega Drive could do. I just think it hasn't got the charm of the Super Nintendo version. Even though they're different games, Glenn, they're different games, but they're still in the Castlevania series. So some people might think, oh, you can't compare these two games because they're two different games, but you know what I mean. They're similar enough where you can compare them, really.
Yeah, I think the Super Nintendo version was definitely better, because I think they're definitely... What's the word I'm trying to look for? I think there's a more time put into the game to make it better.
What I'd say is I think it's more of an experience.
Yeah.
I found the Mega Drive levels a little bit bland, a little bit lacking in imagination.
Yeah.
Whereas the Super Nintendo, it's just so memorable.
I think there's a lot more thought put into the Super Nintendo version, definitely.
All right, then. So let's move on to the next game, which is a WWF Royal Rumble.
Now, I'm not a big fan of wrestling games.
I am.
I'm not a wrestling person, but I gave it a try. And they're very similar, actually. There's very little difference in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I did like the Super Nintendo version better.
Now, some of the things that you'll find that are different in this game is, graphically, the Super Nintendo version, it's got more colour. It doesn't look as blocky. The music is more clear on the Super Nintendo. It doesn't sound as weak and as tinny as the Mega Drive version. But what I do like about both versions is they feature a different roster of wrestlers. They got different characters in some of them.
Oh.
And that's why back in the day I had to get both versions. Certain characters that weren't in the Super Nintendo version, you know, were in the Mega Drive version and vice versa. They both play very, very similar. But again, I would have to say it works in favour with the Super Nintendo control pad.
Definitely. The controls on the Super Nintendo is definitely better. And like you say, Andy, the sound was better on the Super Nintendo and the graphics, the colour was better. But any other things, it just works just as well on both systems.
Let me make a little guess, Glenn. What wrestler did you pick when you were playing this game? I bet you picked Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, because everyone knows Hulk Hogan, even people who don't even know wrestling. To be honest with you, I never really watched wrestling as a kid.
Oh, man, you missed out. I still watch wrestling. Right, so let's move on to the next game, which is Rock and Roll Racing.
Right. Well, my view on Rock and Roll Racing, I found a strange one. I found the music and the sample speech better on the Super Nintendo version.
Yeah.
But on the Mega Drive version, it's just that little bit quicker and has that little bit better gameplay to me.
Really? In what way, though? In what way?
The frame rate seems to be that little bit quicker on the Mega Drive. And to me, that does make all the difference sometimes in games. And I found the colours, they're slightly bit different, but not major.
Mm-hmm.
Not major, really. Overall, I did like the Super Nintendo version in the end, because the frame rate was a bit of an issue, but it doesn't ruin the game. But the sample speech stops when the music's playing on the Mega Drive version.
Now, let me explain the reason why I picked this game, Glenn, because I knew both these games look very, very similar. And some people might go, well, if they play the same and look pretty much exactly the same, then hence they're both winners. But it's just tiny little things, like you said, that the colors are a little bit better on the Super Nintendo version, this audio is a little bit better, the sampled speech is a little bit better, and that just gives it a little bit more presentation wise and it's a great game on both versions. But I've got to agree with you, I prefer the Super Nintendo version as well.
Despite the Super Nintendo does have that slight slow frame rate, it doesn't spoil the game.
I actually, Glenn, back in the day, I used to play this a lot more than Mario Kart. This was my two-player game of choice back in the day.
Oh, right.
It was just because it's very similar to a game called Pro RC, something that I used to play on the Nintendo. But this, you know, it didn't have guns or anything. But all right, let's move on to the next game, which is Beavis and Butthead.
Shall I let you lead this one, Andy?
Right, so for our younger listeners, if there are any, Beavis and Butthead were sort of like I don't know, how would you call them?
Beavis and Butthead was like an early 90s MTV cartoon. And my brother used to love this. My brother used to watch Beavis and Butthead and tape it all the time. And so in the early 90s, they decided to bring out a game on Beavis and Butthead to make a bit of money out of it, basically.
Oh, yeah, well, because they became so big. You know, they had a movie as well. They had loads of merchandise. They really were absolutely huge in the 90s. So what was your view on the games on both versions? And did they feel like you were playing Beavis and Butthead at all?
I played the Super Nintendo version first, and I thought, yeah, this looks quite good. You know, the sprites look very nice and the colours, everything. But until I played the Mega Drive version, I went, wow. The Mega Drive version absolutely kicked Super Nintendo to the ground. The sprites, to me, looked better.
Yeah.
And it had more gameplay to the game. I think you could actually go around the living room on the Mega Drive version, but on the Super Nintendo version, I didn't think you could do that. I couldn't find a way to do it anyway.
Well, it's two very different style of gameplays, actually. I thought there was a little bit more discovering element on it, because you could wander around the town, you could go into the sewers, you could search for certain things, and I think it felt more like the cartoon series than the Super Nintendo version. The Super Nintendo version just felt like a rushed cash-in, you know, like license, whereas the Mega Drive was actually, you'd think, the programmers actually sat down and played it and really made an effort to actually reproduce what they had on the TV onto the actual, to the Mega Drive. So, yeah, Mega Drive for me all the way on this one.
Yeah, and especially the sprites. The sprites look better on the Mega Drive. It looked really cartoony on the Mega Drive. They've done a really good job. Such as you say, the Super Nintendo just looked a bit of a rush job. It's okay game if you just play the Super Nintendo game, but if you play the other one, play the Mega Drive, well, pfft, there's no... There's no question about it. The Mega Drive was better.
Right, so let's go for the next game then, Glenn, which is Street Racer.
Now, this looked a bit like a Mario Kart clone game, isn't it? It used, on the Super Nintendo version, it used a very nice Mode 7.
Yeah.
Such as on the Mega Drive version, that it just looks very strange when you play it.
Because it doesn't have Mode 7.
Yeah, you do notice it straight away when you play it. You know, Super Nintendo version, it used that lovely Mode 7. It has all the lovely detail. Like, it plays a lot like Mario Kart.
Yeah.
And it runs and plays very well on the Super Nintendo, such as the Mega Drive version. I just didn't like it.
Was it because it didn't have that pseudo 3D effect, like when you're going around corners, and it just felt like an average racer, or it just didn't feel as polished as the Super Nintendo version?
It definitely played a lot better on the Super Nintendo for me. For some reason, on the Mega Drive, it looked like a bit... Oh, when you go around the tracks, on the Mega Drive, the tracks seem weird. It looks like a snake when you play it. So just on the Super Nintendo, it looks a lot more natural. It's, it's probably because of all the Mode 7. It makes it look a lot better. And the sound on the Super Nintendo and the music is definitely a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So what Super Nintendo all the way for me.
Control-wise, then, how did you find they both controlled?
Well, I found the controls on the games are a little bit too sensitive for me.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit too sensitive on the Super Nintendo as well. I just found it a bit too sensitive.
Okay, mate. No, I completely agree with you. Super Nintendo all the way. Next up is Joe and Mac, Caveman Ninja.
Well, I'll let you lead this one, Andy.
Right, now, Joe and Mac, Caveman Ninja was a game that I used to love playing in the arcades. I used to love it. It was one of my favourite arcade games. It was just like really big, sort of like bright colours, you know, caveman. And it had a really good, wacky sense of humour. So when I got my Super Nintendo, I heard this game was coming out and I had to get it. And I tell you what, it was an accurate conversion. And although I like the Mega Drive version, it's not quite as good as the Super Nintendo version. What's your view
on
it?
We're going to have a fight here.
Really? Oh, go on.
I actually like my overall win on this one's the Mega Drive.
Right, okay. Have you played the arcade version, though, Glenn?
I have not played the arcade version. The only versions I compared is the Super Nintendo to the Mega Drive, and I picked which one I liked better. But I was aware this did come out on the Amiga as well. Where was I?
All right, so why did you prefer the Mega Drive version?
Well, on the Mega Drive version, it had nice, bright-coloured sprites. It looked very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And on the controls, on the Mega Drive version, he had this hammer.
Yeah.
And that's the only big difference, but that's a really good thing about it. And as well, I found the sound has a nice arcade sound to the game, and it's definitely a lot quicker. You know, the frame rate in the game, it's definitely a lot better.
But didn't you find the sprites were a lot smaller? They're not as big as they are on the Super Nintendo. They look a little bit blockier as well, I thought. Whereas I thought the sprites on the Super Nintendo were a lot larger. On the Super Nintendo, the one with the dinosaur, that's pretty amazing. And it doesn't look quite as impressive as on the Mega Drive. The Mega Drive looks a little bit inferior, I thought, when that happens.
Yeah, well, overall, when I played this game, I liked the Mega Drive version. The Mega Drive, it got a faster frame rate, it runs smoother than the Nintendo one, and it suffers from that slowdown.
Right.
But my overall winner was the Mega Drive, because I like the colours better, I like the frame rate, and it definitely helps for me, it definitely helps the Mega Drive for me, that one. I did prefer the Mega Drive version.
Okay, mate. Again, we're going to have to agree to disagree, and again, it's up to the community to decide, to let us know what they think their better game is or what the better games are. So, right next up is Prince of Persia. Glenn, you lead this one.
Well, Prince of Persia...
Persia.
Prince of Persia. It came out on the Amiga first, and that was a very epic, a good game. It used very good animation, and it was an amazing game for the time.
Yeah.
And Prince of Persia on the Mega Drive and the Super Nintendo, they're both kind of like different. On the Mega Drive, it seemed to have the same map as the Amiga version. such mm-hmm. as on the Super Nintendo, it had like they made the map different.
Oh yeah, because it was the Super version, because it was like a remix expansion version.
Yeah, and when it comes to the graphics side, I like the Super Nintendo better.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the backdrops and the graphics, I think the sprites did move the same. You know, the animation was the same. And for some reason, on the Super Nintendo, it's one of the few games I reviewed that I think find it a little bit quicker than the Mega Drive version. The only thing I really didn't like about the Mega Drive version when it came to the controls is you have to press a button. Forgot what button I pressed now.
Yeah.
To make him jump. Such as on the Super Nintendo version, you press up like you do on the Mega. You push the joystick up for him to jump. And for me, I did find that better when it came to the controls.
All right, let me give you my whole point of view on it. Again, some people might think I was a bit unfair comparing the Super Prince of Persia to just Prince of Persia, because Prince of Persia was a conversion of the Amiga game, and I thought it was a great conversion. I thought it worked really well, it looked well, and it was a great game. Now, obviously, the Super Nintendo version came out a good while after, so they could remix it and do it something different with it, which is what they did. But overall experience, again, I've got to agree with you, the Super Nintendo version just had that little bit more. But again, it's probably because the game came out a good few years afterwards, Glenn.
And the Mega Drive version didn't have the music in the background.
Ah, yeah.
It had that nice music in the background, such as the Mega Drive version didn't have it.
Hey everybody, this is Buzzbot from Ozpod and the Free Beat Podcast. You're listening to the most greatest, funkiest retro gaming podcast in the world, Retro Asylum.
The next game is... I found this a strange one. It was RoboCop versus Terminator. I didn't know this existed.
Right, I'll have to say that again, Glenn. It's Terminator.
Oh, Terminator versus RoboCop.
You're saying it wrong. You're saying Terminator. It's Terminator.
Oh, Terminator. RoboCop versus Terminator. Right, well, this game, I found it a very strange one. It had... It was a RoboCop fighting the Terminator in a computer game. So it's a bit like a fantasy, really. I think probably somebody sat down and think, who could defeat the Terminator? I think RoboCop has got a chance of beating the Terminator. So I think they just thought of that idea and just made a game out of it.
Well, you know, it's actually based on the Dark Horse comic series.
I didn't know that.
It was a comic series where they did like a little spin-off, and it was basically RoboCop versus Terminator. And I think it's a great license. I think that worked really, really well on the computer games. So what was your view then? Which version did you think was better?
Well, I liked the Super Nintendo version better.
Really?
I actually did like the Nintendo version better on this time.
Oh my god, to me, really?
I like the sound. I think the sound was better.
Really?
And I think the graphics were better on the Super Nintendo.
Oh my god, Glenn, I couldn't so disagree with you. I'm opposite of what you're saying. I think the Super Nintendo version just did not control very well. I thought the audio was rubbish. I thought the Mega Drive look had a certain colour scheme to where it looked grimy and dark. And it felt more like the 1980s Terminator, like the whole sort of locations. I love the music. I love the fact that you've got blood. You shoot people, they explode in balls of blood.
Yeah, that was missing on the Super Nintendo version. When you killed an enemy, it didn't have that explosion. But I think the overall graphics looked very nice. And it had a nice shadow effect when you went over certain points. I could tell they used more colour on the Super Nintendo version. To me, it came out very nice.
Oh, no, I've got to completely disagree. So I think we'll leave it as that, Glenn, but I think the Mega Drive version is so much better. It's one of my favourite games ever, Glenn. I love this game to bits, and I had to get it again when I got my Mega Drive. All right, we'll move on to the last of the games that we're doing for this episode of the podcast, and that is a Super Off-Road.
All right, shall I lead you this one, Andy?
Right, so once again, I think the long name is Ivan something Super Off-Road Racing, but I just call it Super Off-Road Racing. And I love the arcade game. The arcade game, I think, had four steering wheels. And it was more like, it was like, I can't remember what it was called. It was like an arcade game that I used to play. And this was more like a take on that. And I really liked it. And I thought it was fantastic.
I'm probably wrong. Are you thinking of Super Sprint?
Yeah, it was like Super Sprint. I thought it was very similar to Super Sprint. And it reminded me of another game that I used to have on my ZX Spectrum called Grand Prix Simulator, which was a Super Sprint ripoff. And this game really reminded me of it.
I remember that.
But Super Off-Road, again, I loved the conversions. I thought there's not a lot of difference to it. Again, they're so similar, but there's little touches, again, that you'll find that are better on certain systems. And I found graphically that extra bit of colour, that extra bit of sound really worked in the Super Nintendo's favour.
Yeah, the music was definitely better on the Super Nintendo version.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really got a lot to say to that. I just think the Mega Drive version is great. It plays fantastic. It looks like the arcade game. But it just lacks that extra little bit of polish than the Super Nintendo had.
It had that annoying thing at the beginning on the Super Nintendo version where you have to press select to select a player. And if you didn't do that, it just restarts the game back to the beginning again. Mm. Something like that happens. They're like, oh, it took me a while to figure out what to do.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll have to leave it as that. So I think what we're going to do, I think the majority of the winners have been the Super Nintendo, actually.
Well, my
winner Mega
on
Drive.
This particular game was the Super Nintendo. It had basically had the better music, had the more colours. But besides that, it looked more or less the same.
But again, this isn't like proof that the Super Nintendo version, you know, console is better than the Mega Drive, because you can be talking about different sort of games and the Mega Drive would come out on top. If you said, what are the top 14 best shooters, the Mega Drive would win hands down. Or if you said, who's got the best RPGs, it might vary again. So there's no right or wrong answer in this. This was just just to mix it up a little bit, I guess, we did this episode.
Well, my score was Super Nintendo got 9 out of 14. And the Mega Drive got 5 out of 14.
Yeah. I think the way we're actually going to do it, though, Glenn, we're going to let the community decide. So we're going to put this up and we'll see who the winner is in a couple of weeks. All right. So let's do some iTunes reviews before we round this podcast up. Our first iTunes review is from Monkey Chunk. Now, I'm a big fan of Monkey Chunk. He's got his own podcast called Nerdjackers. And it's because of Mr. Monkey Chunk, Steve Ridley, that I got into podcasting, because he used to have a podcast before called Sanctuary for Gamers, and I used to love listening to that. So I'm really happy that he left me an iTunes review. He put, full of retro goodness. Why have I not listened to the show before? Going on my own retro travels, I searched iTunes for retro podcast. I clicked on the show and have gone back through every episode. Each show is full of well-informed chat about games that, if I'm honest, make me feel old. Everything about this show is great, and I look forward to shows to come. Also, good luck to both the new arrivals. Steve, the host of the Monkey Chunk Show. So, yeah, guys, check out the Monkey Chunk Show. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to be a guest on the Monkey Chunk Show at some point.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, sometime in the new year. So we've got another 5-star iTunes review by ToeJam38. He put, Turn Back Time. It's not the number one retro gaming podcast for nothing, you know. If you have the slightest interest in retro gaming or just want to relive your childhood, download this now. Been a gamer since my dad bought me a ZX81. Yes, I am that old. And now my 16-year-old son is into retro gaming. So we listened together with me saying to him I had or played that game. The presenters are great and bounce off each other really well. And it's like having a chat with your schoolmates before asking to borrow their games. Great podcast, guys. Keep it up. Right, so now we've got our first negative review, Glenn.
Negative?
Well, you know, it's a 3 stars, and he put, great guys, but sometimes ill-informed, and this is by Joypogs. He put, having heard a dozen or so episodes now, I find myself screaming at my iPod at least 10 times per show with a number of mistakes made about retro games. There was even a quiz in which the host got the answer wrong, and he put cringe. I know it's hard to check everything, but if you don't know something, it's best to give no facts at all and tell us your experience to get this, rather than to get the stuff wrong. Swainy definitely knows his onions, though. All the best for the future. P.S. Bring back the 8-bit wars.
Ah.
So, yeah, when I first heard this, I was like...
Which question was it?
Oh, it was the one about the Atari. You read out the wrong name. You pronounced it wrong.
Oh, Norman Bushwell or something.
Yeah, we're not going to go into that again. Cause he's not going to want to listen to the show again. And for the fact as well, you kept on sort of calling it, what's it called? That racing game. And you kept on calling it something racer.
Oh, God, I've got to get it wrong now. It was Test Drive.
Test Drive. Yeah, so
that's not completely, utterly wrong, isn't it?
I know, but there's little things, you know, there's lots of sort of geeky people out there. And when I first saw this review, I was like, God damn you, you son of a b-. Who the f*** do you think you are? You know, you have no f***ing idea that I put all the hard work into this podcast. But then I realized that not everyone, you know, we've got to have people criticizing us because we can't improve otherwise. So, yeah, Joypogs, you know, I thank you very much for your feedback. You know, I'm not really upset with you. I was at first. I thought burn in hell, Joypogs. But then I thought, no, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And we will try our best to try and get our facts right. But what you need to understand is that we have no time, really, you know. We all have busy lives, you know. Glenn's got, like, a girlfriend, work, family, going out time. I've got two kids, one on the way, and, yeah. But we will try our best, won't we, Glenn?
Yeah, we try our best, even trying to pronounce it right. Bloody hell, it's just pronunciations. if I would have said Atari was founded by Little Miss Sunshine, then that would be... You probably would have more of a point.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, we're not perfect, and we do this for fun. And you know what? We're going to keep on doing this as much as we can. This is the last podcast for this year. We have got more episodes in the new year. I'm not going to be in them, Glenn, for a good month because I'm taking some time off after my little baby's born. What would you like to say and wish New Year's to people, Glenn? Any messages?
Well, before we go, Andy, are you going to mention about the N64?
Oh, crap, yeah. I'll tell you what. Well, thank everyone first, and then I'll announce how you can win the competition.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody who listens to us. I'd like to thank Andy Swainy and everybody from Retro Asylum. And happy New Year, everybody, and we do more podcasts next year, and we be even better. And even start pronouncing stuff correctly.
So, Glenn, what I would like to say is, I'd like to thank everyone for listening to the show and for being a good sport. And Joypogs, honestly, thank you very much for the criticism. We will try and improve it. Thank you to everyone else who's left us positive feedback. Any feedback is good feedback, the way I'd say, really, because it does help us improve. I'm shattered. Happy New Year to everyone. Now, you can win an N64. There's 3 ways you can win this N64. The first way is leave an iTunes review, preferably a nice one. Or you could be like Joypogs and just leave us like an average one, if you want to be picky. Or second, like our Facebook page. And third, it's a little bit tougher. Listen to the 3 tracks at the end of the podcast. And you're in with a 3rd chance of winning. If you've left us iTunes reviews already or liked a Facebook page already, then you're already entered into the competition. Now, I'm rambling on, Glenn, because I am shattered. So let's call it a day, and we'll see everyone in the new year. Goodbye, guys.
All right, goodbye, everybody, and I hope Andy gets a nice sleep.
Oh, if only. So this is episode 29 and a half, Glenn. I still haven't like started the show yet, but if you notice me sort of like going blur, you have to sort of fill in dead air, basically, because I'm not going to have my usual...
Take some Pro Plus.
Oh, I'd love to, mate. But yeah, so yeah. See, I'm not even with it, Glenn. I'm so shattered. And the baby's not even born yet. 3, 2, 1. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Retro Asylum podcast. I'm your host... start again. It's the UK's number one retro gaming podcast. All right.
Take two. Before you start, Andy, I just noticed my battery level is 4 to 4 minutes. So, right. Good idea to just put some energy in. There we go.
Right. I wish I had a plug like that to give me energy. I'm shattered. going into my own retro... I'll start again.
Take going.
Right, so let's turn that off.